Welcome to Managing Safety, brought to you by the Florida Aviation Network, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. This talk show addresses strategies for thinking in today's complex aviation world. Now, here's Ron Timmermans, an independent master flight and ground instructor from Orlando, Florida. He's an airline transport pilot with over 7,000 hours of flight time, most of which is in Beechcraft Bonanzas and Barrens.
Hi, and welcome to the Florida Aviation Network's broadcast from the Sun and Fun campus in Lakeland, Florida. Yes, it's that time of the year again, April, and that means Sun and Fun. And this is the 48th annual Sun and Fun Aerospace Expo. And what a day it's been. Yesterday was the first day of the show, and it was great. We've had a number of people here. Great weather yesterday, great weather again today. Maybe not quite as good tomorrow, but nevertheless, it's going to be a wonderful show. And the Florida Aviation Network broadcasts live and in the clear from our studio here at the Sun and Fun campus. I'm Ron Timmermans, one of the many hosts with the Florida Aviation Network, and it's my delight to be here today and to host yet another of our interesting interviews. So let me ask, have you ever thought about the unsung heroes in the U.S.? There are many of them, of course, and one of them is the Civil Air Patrol. Perhaps you've heard of the Civil Air Patrol, probably in their role of search and rescue for airplanes that have gone down, but that's only a small fraction of what they do. And today I have a wonderful guest here, Colonel Luis Negron, who is the wing commander for the Florida wing of the Civil Air Patrol. Colonel Negron, thank you for joining us today.
Happy to be here.
Good. It's good to have you. And so I just mentioned briefly what the Civil Air Patrol does, of course, search and rescue, but I know there's a whole lot more. Tell us, just if you would, give us a snippet for our viewers at home as to what all the Civil Air Patrol does for our nation.
Absolutely. So the Civil Air Patrol is chartered by Congress to do three main missions: aerospace education, cadet programs, and emergency services. And here in Florida, we do all three very successfully. We're quite busy here year-round because of the weather that we enjoy here in Florida.
Indeed. So the Civil Air Patrol is organized, of course, in wings, and each state is a wing, as Colonel Negron has told me. So his command is the entire state of Florida, which includes seven groups and 60 squadrons throughout the state, a total of about 3,000 people. What surprised me, though, is that not just cadets, there are a lot of adults involved in the Civil Air Patrol as well. And in Florida, you told me, I believe, 1,600 adults work with him as volunteers, as he is a volunteer working with the Civil Air Patrol. So they are doing the search and rescue work as well as educating young people, the cadets, some 1,600 or so cadets that you must have as well. Well, that's great. Well, I wanted to introduce Colonel Negron because he's got a very interesting and wonderful background. He has been in command of the Civil Air Patrol Florida Wing just less than a year. July of last year is when you started this wing.
Yep.
It's headquartered right here at the Lakeland Airport. That's the headquarters for the Florida Wing. And as I mentioned, it covers the entire state and some 1,600 adults, total of 3,000 people, seven groups, 60 squadrons. My goodness, that is a lot to say grace over, isn't
it? It's a big state.
Yeah. He was telling me that he'd like to visit at least one squadron a week, but even then it's going to take you over a year to make it to all the squadrons.
Over a year to make it to all
the units,
yep.
That's really good. But in his past, Colonel Negron has a very storied military career. He actually started first exposure to the Civil Air Patrol was while he was a senior in high school at his home in Puerto Rico. And then he became a cadet in 1999, and then shortly after that, joined the military, I guess.
Yep, I joined right out of high school, enlisted in the U.S. Army.
In the U.S. Army, and served with the Army and with the Coast Guard. So he's got two branches of service, and now yet a third branch of service that you're supporting in
all
the
around.
Civil Air Patrol, indeed. And then he retired in 2019, a few years ago, after 22 years of service. Thank you very much for your service to our country and continued service for our country with the Civil Air Patrol. Well, Colonel Negron, I know you've got a couple of topics specifically that you want to inform our viewers about. The first is some about cadet programs. So cadets
programs
are these young people that join the Civil Air Patrol, right?
And they ages can do that. 12 to 21. They can start in the sixth grade. So they don't have to be 12 if they are attending the sixth grade, they can join the program at the age of 11. And it's a fantastic program. I wish I would have known more about it when I was younger, not just in my senior year, but we have 1,000 cadets in Florida right now, all the way from Key West, Florida, to Jacksonville and Pensacola. We have fantastic units. Our cadets are involved in just about every aspect of Civil Air Patrol, not just the search and rescue piece that people are more aware of. We have a fantastic cyber program. Florida Wing last year ranked number one in the nation in cyber defense programs, which is fantastic. So our cadets, with all the technology out there today, Facebook, Instagram, and the TikToks and all that, they're learning about how to defend systems against attacks from hackers and all that. And that's another program that the Air Force is funding, preparing our young cadets and students into going into cyber defense system, not just in the government or military, but in the private sector as well. So there's a lot of opportunity, even starting at the age of 12, to start learning about what can I do when I grow up and get out of high school.
And who better to defend us against cyber attack than the young people of today, who are much more tech savvy than those of us who are a bit more senior, shall we say.
Absolutely.
So that's good. So you're involving them on the good side of technology. Yes. and cyber technology and the like. So this is great. This is great. So that's one of the additional things in addition to search and rescue. What other programs do
you The other program spoke? that we are trying to get the word out more is the flight training. So now the U.S. Air Force, there's a national shortage of pilots that we are seeing. The U.S. Air Force is now paying for flight training for our cadets.
Whoa.
Without any, they don't have to fund anything. It's completely paid for. They have to be a member of the program in good standing. We have 5 students in the state right now going through flight training. Nationwide, I think we've certified 150 pilots coming out of CAP, and that's what the Air Force is totally paying for. That's another fantastic benefit of being a member of Civil Air Patrol.
Yeah, so you said nationwide the Air Force is funding flight training for Civil Air Patrol cadets for 150?
150 already completed the training.
Well, have already completed.
So we're trying to get more interested. We can't force them to join, but those who are wanting to do it, absolutely. We get them checked out and start the flight training, and we have, I believe, 10 in the state of Florida that have completely successfully finished the training and become a pilot.
So 10 successes already, and how many in the program now did you say?
I think we have 5 right now in the program.
5 right now, and are they here at Lakeland or throughout the state?
No, they're throughout the state. I think we have 3 in Pensacola attending training, 1 here in Central Florida and 1 in the South.
I see. So let me make sure I understand this for our audience at home. So a young person can join the Civil Air Patrol between ages 12 and 21. Mm-hmm. And among other things that they do as volunteers, they can be subjected to flight training.
Yep.
And the Air Force will fund that. I imagine there's some kind of qualification process for them, of course, and an application and the like. But once you get that, then they fund the flight training. Is there a commitment, a time commitment following that?
There's not a time commitment. So they can. It's really self-paced. We identify the instructors and the academy for them, and then they start going to it. So there's not a time commitment. You must complete this within 6 months or a year and all of that.
I see. So once a cadet then times out at age 21, you've probably timed out now as well for that, right? So once a cadet times out, can they then rejoin the Civil Air Patrol as one of your adult volunteers?
They can continue they don't have to get out. They can continue the program. They just transition into the senior member part of the program.
So from a cadet to a senior member.
Absolutely.
And they can continue.
They can continue.
Yep. Volunteering, serving their country in a volunteer role. That's a wonderful opportunity. So it can be a lifelong opportunity for young people. Get started early on, and then maybe be inspired as you were, Colonel Negron, going on to the military and
Absolutely.
Serving an active role as well. So
Absolutely.
There are many, many good things about the Civil Air Patrol, and I'm just excited about the flight training opportunities. This is just an amazing thing. So there's no time commitment that someone has to give back to the organization after they finish the flight training?
No, we're all volunteers, so we understand that people have goals, commitments, jobs that they have to do. So we try not to be too strict or too rigid in the things that we do and allow flexibility so that people do want to participate. I mean, I think if we put too many obstacles, people shy away from even trying. And when allowing flexibility, I think people see that they can, at their own pace, accomplish becoming a pilot or anything else they want to do. That's one thing that I like to tell people is Civil Air Patrol is not meant to drive cadets into the military. Certainly, we'd love to, but our job is to mentor them into any field they want to pursue, whether it's corporate sector, the government sector, military. Our job is really to mentor them and guide them into developing leaders for America in whatever sector they want to do.
Leaders for America, I like that. That's a good nomer for that, because we need to develop our youth today into tomorrow's leaders. Actually, they will be leaders starting today, and we'll continue on that tomorrow as those of us who are more senior kind of fade away, I guess. So, well, that's great. That's absolutely wonderful. So I mentioned the search and rescue, which is certainly a part of the Civil Air Patrol mission. I imagine there's other emergency services that you comply with, or that.
So we do the emergency services mission is kind of a big umbrella. We do a lot of things under that mission, where we kind of place everything under there. I recently went to Tallahassee and met with the state director of emergency management, Mr. Kevin Guthrie. Fantastic meeting. We do a lot under, because we're in Florida, and here pretty soon we're going to get into the hurricane season, as we do every year. We prepare a lot for disaster preparedness and response. That's one of the things that we do, and cadets can participate in that as well within a margin of reason on how we expose, especially our younger cadets, to doing stuff under emergency services. But we have a fantastic partnership with the state. We recently participated in a search and rescue mission with Volusia County, downed aircraft. The county spent all day looking for the aircraft. They could not find it. Finally, towards the end of the day, we got notified, and we found the aircraft. Unfortunately, the pilot did not survive the crash. So that was unfortunate. But we received many accolades from the state and the county because we were within 30 minutes of getting on scene, we found the wreckage.
Wow.
And they were out there all day trying to find it. And they were about to give up. They're like, we don't know where it is. So a combination of our aircraft and our ground forces, within 30 minutes of being on scene, we found it.
Very good. So you mentioned the aircraft that you use in search and rescue.
Yep.
As I recall, you use a lot of Cessna 182
A lot
aircraft.
Of Cessnas. Okay, so we have 172s, 182s, and 206s here in Florida. We're fortunate that we are a big state, and I have 26 planes. And it sounds like a lot. Not really. I wish I had more. So we have very capable 172s, 182s, and 206s here in Florida.
I see. And they're stationed throughout?
Throughout the entire state.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
And you have some here in Lakeland, I would imagine.
We do have some here in Central Florida. Again, I wish I had more. So we kind of have them all spread out through the entire state, all the way down to Miami and all the way to Pensacola and Jacksonville.
I see. So that pretty well covers the state. So so we have a lot of pilots, of course, watching this broadcast, and so they're interested probably a lot in the flying portion of this, but then also youth that we hope to inspire through their association with us today. But tell us how an emergency search and rescue mission develops. Obviously, a plane is missing or overdue or whatever. Who gets the first call, and then how does that get transmitted to you, and then what do you do after that?
So we get notified by the Air Force Rescue Coordination Center here in Tyndall, also in Florida. Once we get the notification that there's either a person missing or an aircraft missing or whatever the case may be, we get activated at the wing level. So my operations staff will get that notification and immediately start alerting resources. Now I like to say that we would like to be the first response because we're volunteers. A lot of people usually during the day are going to be at work or whatnot. We usually fall into the second layer of response. So a lot of times here in Florida, who will respond first will be the county sheriffs and the county EMS services. Once they get on scene, we start alerting our people and trying to see who can we get activated so they can respond either via ground or air. So it takes because we're all volunteers, we're not paid staff, it may take an hour or two before we can even get on scene.
Sure, you can't just say to someone,
I need you to go right now,
because they're not a paid employee of yours. They're a volunteer, so you have to coerce them and coach them. But there are volunteers, absolutely. So they're willing to do this. So
and we do have somewhat of a shift and rotations where people volunteer. Hey, I'm available these days from these hours, so we know that ahead of time. So sometimes we do have people just standing by at home going, tell me where to go. I'm ready to go.
Wow.
Sometimes that works out. Sometimes it's a little bit complicated how to get people. If we get notified 2 o'clock in the morning, probably going to wait till daylight before we can start making notifications and getting people out there.
She said you have ground staff that go out on search and rescue missions. So they go out to the presumed location of the downed aircraft or the place.
So we have technology that's kind of, a lot of people think it's outdated, but not really. Looking for EOTs and beacons, it's a technology that no one trains anymore. Luckily, we do. We maintain that training all the time. So it's easy for us to go find an EOT that's going off where the emergency responders, they don't even, a lot of times they don't know what that is. Like, how do you find it so quickly? And then we explain to them what that is. Like, they think it's brand new technology. This has been around for decades.
Yeah.
And they think this is fantastic technology.
So the ELT acronym that we're using stands for Emergency Locator Transmitter, and each aircraft is required to have one. And so now the technology, the ELT sets off with an impact and sets a signal to a GPS satellite.
Yes.
And that's what the Air Force Search and Rescue, Air Force, what are they called?
Air Force Rescue Coordination
Rescue
Center.
Rescue Coordination
AFRCC.
Service. They get that signal and then engage the local county sheriffs and the Civil Air Patrol, and that starts the search and rescue effort. So ground forces, and then if necessary, you launch your Air Force, your Civil Air Patrol aircraft as well to help. And then they fly a specific grid to make sure that they look at all places and the like. And that's not just flying around looking out the cockpit. I mean, they're very determined and disciplined as to what they do and how they do it so that they can efficiently find the
And there's a very lengthy qualification process. And we do training year-round to get as many people qualified as we can. But it's a very rigorous process. And then once you're qualified, it is a fantastic thing to be able to go up there and perform those missions. It's very professional, very rigid in the way we do things, and the Air Force and their customers appreciate how we do that.
Very satisfying, I'm sure, as well for the
Absolutely.
Volunteers. So these some 1,600 adults that you have, many of those are the pilots for the search and rescue
Absolutely.
Missions or the ground staff for going out and finding those. And can cadets go along with them?
Cadets can, absolutely they can. They can participate in our missions within reason. We look at that very carefully. And what type of mission do we allow our cadets to be exposed to? For example, the example I talked about here a minute ago about the Volusia County aircraft that went down, cadets were not participants to that because there's always that element of coming across a deceased body. So we don't want to expose our cadets to that. We let the adults handle that type of mission.
Yeah, that's good. But I'm sure there are many, many more success stories where you either find the aircraft and the person is not deceased.
Not deceased.
Or maybe there was a false alarm or something. And
99% of all activations are false alarms. Landings, a little too rough landing at the airport may set off those EOTs. They're quite sensitive, so anything more than a gentle touch may trigger the activation of that EOT.
Well, I must admit, I've had a couple of those pretty tough landings myself, but fortunately, I have not yet set off an EOT that I'm aware of. I imagine if I had done that, I would have gotten a call from the Air Force.
Yes.
So fortunately, that hasn't happened to me. But that would be one of the many false alarms that you get. And I guess those, although a bit of a nuisance, they are a good thing. I mean,
they are a good thing. And the problem with that is we may think of it as a nuisance, but when you have those going off, they may muffle the sound of another EOT going off.
Oh.
The satellites, even though now technology has come a long way and we have now identifiers that single out specific beacons, we can't just let these EOTs continue going off because the satellite may confuse it with an actual mission. So we treat every single one of them as an actual incident, and we go and find them. Now, 99% of them are false. A lot of times they're at airports, which is convenient for us. But we also help the Coast Guard in that respect. A lot of marinas, people come back, and a lot of the in the marine community, those are called EPIRBs, Emergency Positioning Indicating Radio Beacons, kind of long acronym. Yeah. Same technology. A lot of those are made so that if it gets wet, they immediately go off. So when people are out there boating, they, you know, they're fishing, they're having a great time, they come back and the EPIRB's going off. So a lot of times we do go to marina. It's kind of funny seeing a guy with an antenna walking around. People ask all the time, what are you doing, looking for cable signals? I mean, what are we doing here? So they don't know, and it's the same outcome. People think they're getting a fine or a ticket, and like we don't do that. Yeah. We just try to make sure that you're safe to begin with.
You're not in enforcement, and please, you're in rescue.
Yes, and please turn the beacon off.
Yeah, well, that's good. I didn't realize that you sometimes get called out for
yes.
boating emergencies
yes.
as well.
Absolutely.
And do you do any offshore search and rescue?
We did a sortie for a missing boater. Left Marathon en route to the Bahamas. The family was concerned that he had not arrived. So the Coast Guard down in Miami is doing an active search, and they requested our aircraft to do a sortie. So we flew that. We didn't find the boater, but he was found safe in the Bahamas. He just was too excited to be in the Bahamas and have a good time. He forgot to call home and tell his family that he made it safe.
I see. He was already on
he was already having fun.
Bahama time. Huh?
Yes, good, yes good. He was.
And how about in Puerto Rico? Do they have their own separate wing, or is that part of the Florida
no.
wing?
No, Puerto Rico is its own separate wing.
Okay.
Yeah, we have 52 okay. wings. Puerto Rico is considered its own wing, and the nation's capital is considered its own wing.
Oh,
yep.
The nation's
D.C.
capital.
Is its own wing, yep.
I'll be. Well, that's good. That's good. Well, this has been quite useful for me to get a better understanding of the Civil Air Patrol. As I mentioned earlier, we've got a lot of unsung heroes in our nation, and the Civil Air Patrol is certainly one of those, as is the entire U.S. military, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine Corps, and Coast Guard. There's just wonderful things that they do for the defense of our country, and in this case, the Civil Air Patrol, an auxiliary of the U.S. Air Force, as I recall.
Is yes, sir.
The, and all volunteers, Colonel Negron, and some 1,600 volunteers here in Florida, adult volunteers, and another 1,000-plus cadet volunteers, all serving their country as a volunteer in search and rescue and so many other things. But for young people, this is a great opportunity for you to serve your country in a volunteer role, but also get flight training. And so if that's of interest to you, I would encourage you to contact the Civil Air Patrol. You can find them on the internet, I'm sure. Google for it, and the opportunity to serve your country as a cadet would be a great thing for you to do. Well, Colonel Negron, thank you so much for being with us
thank
today.
Thank you for inviting me, absolutely.
And informing us about what's happening in the Civil Air Patrol, particularly in the Florida wing. You've got a tiger by the tail here with all the people and all the resources that you have. I wish you well.
Thank you, sir.
All right, very good. Well, I'm Ron Timmermans, one of the hosts for the Florida Aviation Network. I'm glad you were able to join us for this last interview with Colonel Negron and learn all about the Civil Air Patrol. We've got many more interesting interviews coming up here at the 48th Annual Sun and Fun Aerospace Expo. So please join us again for the next interview.
We hope you've enjoyed today's Managing Safety, brought to you by the Florida Aviation Network, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. Please visit our studio website to hear past programs.